Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. Well, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, Scott.
Well, thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
So, several times in the past, we have used one of these episodes to talk about a book that one of us has read, and that's happened again. I've read another book.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Good. Okay.
Yeah. Tim Keller wrote a book called Counterfeit Gods, and it's just about the basically being an idol worshiper. And that
Counterfeit gods?
Counterfeit gods, okay. Right. It's all right there in the title, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting. I've learned some on this just over the past few years, but I would have never thought about being an idol worshiper. When I would read about the idol worshipers in the Bible, there was always like a physical idol, a golden calf, pointing to a false god, a Baal or a Dagon or Artemis. Mm-hmm. And so I would just kind of skip over that stuff because it didn't apply to me, is what I thought, you know. But there's a lot of it. There's a lot of that in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. You can't underestimate it. We traveled, you know, to the to Turkey and saw all the seven churches of the book of Revelation, and every one of them had some level of competition for God. In other words, that's not the right way to say it. Those were not competition to Jesus. Jesus was competition to them. In other words, they had already been there. They had these big palaces up on the top of the mountains, and then these, you know, upstart Christians would come proclaiming that Jesus is king, and that you don't need to serve these other gods. In fact, you need to reject them.
Yeah.
And the message of Christianity really was revolutionary, because there were all of these other gods. You're right.
Yeah.
One of the things that it's kind of the same now as then, we don't maybe have little trophies that we put on a shelf and worship, but the world was organized around those idol temples back in the day.
Yeah.
In your New Testament.
Right.
And I would say, for the most part, our world is organized around counterfeit gods that we invent. We don't, you know, make statues to represent them. It's almost as though they don't need representation.
Right.
And but life is organized around them nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of what I started thinking about, was the idol or the statue wasn't exactly the thing being worshipped. It represented the thing being worshipped, the God being worshipped. Right. That. So I just kind of let myself off the hook with that stuff, because since I didn't have this physical thing right in front of me, then therefore I wasn't an idol worshiper. But this book helped me see that maybe I am at risk of being an idol worshiper. So I thought we would talk about it a little bit.
Okay. Keller, when he defines what he's talking about with the counterfeit god or an idol, see, that's the thing. It's probably better, really, that's the reason for the title, instead of a book about idols.
Right.
We'd all have the wrong idea.
Right.
Counterfeit god, he says a counterfeit god is anything so central and essential to your life that should you lose it, your life would feel hardly worth living.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's... that was one of the quotes in there that made me realize that, oh, I have definitely been guilty of this in my life and over different things. But it immediately reminded me of just my years at Followers. And this quote really fit in with what I was told my whole life. And that is that there's nothing out there without the church. You'll have nothing. You'll have no friends. You'll have no morals. You'll just live however you want. No way to heaven. And I was just led to believe that our life would fall apart if we left.
It'd be hardly worth living.
It'd be hardly worth living.
Right. Interesting.
And so, I realized that at that point, the church that I attended was actually what I was worshiping instead of God. It was in the place of God, in where God should have been prioritized. So, my trust was in attending the right church instead of what I should have been doing was worshiping God at church. I was worshiping the church that I was attending instead.
Interesting.
So,
I do think that there's several corollary, idols, you might say,
mm-hmm.
that probably were connected in your situation.
Yeah.
That are probably more common.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that people who come to our church think that the church is maybe even all that great. Who knows? but boy, I'll tell you, if you cross somebody about their kids,
yeah.
or you cross somebody about their lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
or their new car, or it seems like you go on vacation, some really expensive places, or whatever you may want to pick.
Yeah,
it's like, whoa, you just stepped across a line,
right?
Because you've touched something that's really close to the heart there.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was kind of a progression for me where at first I realized the church itself was an idol and that a counterfeit God, if you mm-hmm. want to use the term from the book. But when I realized that it wasn't able to provide what only God can provide, and that's a lot of what Tim Keller talks about, is that we elevate something to be an idol when we put it in the place that only God should be, or when we put so much weight on something that it's weight that only God can carry. So I realized that I had the church there, and it couldn't carry the weight. It couldn't meet my expectations. And so that was the obvious idol to me. But when I decided I wanted to leave followers, that's when I was really faced with my actual idols that I didn't realize were counterfeit gods.
They were sort of secondary idols supporting the other idol, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was these deeper rooted idols that Keller talks about in his book, but it was my family, it was comfort, security, control, and staying at followers was how I thought I could keep all those things. I could hang on to them by staying there, and by leaving, I would likely lose those. So I was kind of confronted with the fact that, oh yeah, that was idol worship on my part.
Well, see, the interesting thing about that, and just the way you described it,
mm-hmm.
does sort of, and this, I think this is why we want to talk about this today,
mm-hmm.
because what happened was, the idols tipped their hand there, so
right.
you could actually see what was going on, because there were two things happening at the same time. One, there were promises
yeah.
that, we will make you happy, we will fulfill your deepest desires, you will be most secure as you serve us and keep close to us. That's the promise of an idol.
Mm-hmm.
And the second is a threat.
Right.
That if you cross us, if you
right.
leave, if you do this. And so the interesting thing is the idols are both make both promises and threats.
Yeah.
And that's really the power of those idols. And so, in other words, I mean, Keller says that our hearts are idol factories. But the reality is, I think there is a spiritual reality
yeah.
that is, related to these threats and related
yeah.
to these promises. It isn't just, I make them up.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're very real, and I think that, and I think that partly because I'm not the only one that makes them up.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I have had idolatry problems too, I would say.
Yeah.
But I have not had a unique one.
Right.
I mean, in other words, I share ones that other people share.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too, just as you were talking about that, the I've been in both places, like I've talked about on here before. I've been the family member who was promising the security and the comfort to family as long as they stay at Followers. And then with that same threat that you know what's going to happen if you leave. And so I've been, but I was there because I was serving a counterfeit God.
You were believing it yourself.
Yeah, I was believing it myself. And so when I didn't anymore, that's when I was really faced with this, this is what you've been doing. And, you know, so yeah, it was really interesting to read this book and to just have it. The book just kind of gave me some language to talk about things that I'd been
right
already knew and was thinking about. And but
it's one of the reasons we read books, yeah, is they give us a new vocabulary, new language, new ways to think about things. Right. Good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you often remind me when we're talking about things, and I bring it up from the Followers standpoint, and you've talked about it a little bit already, but this book certainly wasn't written about people that attend the Followers of Christ Church.
True.
You don't. So this is something that I think everybody should think about and try to identify. Do I have things in my life that I elevate to a level that only God should be at? And he brings up some of the modern, he calls them the modern altars in his book, the kind of things in our culture that people will elevate to a point that only God can be. And so once again, this is not just a follower thing. This is a human thing.
100% is not, right?
Yeah. So he brings up some on here that are, it's money, power, politics, romantic love, success, you know, these are all things that I know that if I think I still struggle with some of these today. Like I think I still try to find security in finances, or I try to find comfort in finances or control. If I can just control the outcomes, then I'll feel safe and comfortable. And so I think there are things certainly outside of just my experience at Followers that I don't think I'm free from the danger of this because I've left Followers, I guess, is one way to say that.
As your pastor, I promise you, you're not. How's that? And again, that's what makes the book helpful.
Yeah,
is it isn't a warning to, you know, past Mark. It's a warning to present Mark.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Really
yeah.
something that you have to pay attention to right now.
Yeah.
All of us do.
And I just think it's important in my position here to say that so that I'm not saying, hey, escape idol worship by leaving Followers. That's not what I'm saying here at all.
Well, if you're making the promise,
right,
the threat that if you stay,
right,
then you'll be in trouble, or the promise that, yes, if you leave, everything will be great,
right,
you're creating leaving as an idol.
Exactly.
And again, you just have to figure it out on its own merit and trust what the Bible says and what how the Lord directs you. But you can't just replace one idol with another and think you're better off.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I've just confessed that I think I still struggle with this. You've mentioned that you think you have some struggle with this. What do we do when we recognize that we struggle with this? Like, what do we do with that?
What's the magic bullet?
Right.
Is that what you're asking?
Right.
Well, I mean, the magic bullet is, number one, it's not really a magic bullet. I guess that you have to recognize that this is the tendency of your heart, first mm-hmm. of all, so you're on the lookout for it.
Yeah.
And that's first thing. And then when you see it, when you find it, you have to repent of it.
Yeah.
And recognize it, admit it, and, you know, talk to the Lord about it. But, you know, you can do that one day, and then the very next day, go right back and, you know, think that some level of security or some level of education or money or whatever is going to do that again for you, and you're right back into it.
Yeah.
And so the question is, how do you break free?
Yeah.
And one of the things that Keller does talk about in his book is that you don't just remove an idol, you replace an idol.
Right.
And he actually got that from the old Puritan Thomas Chalmers.
Okay.
He wrote so Counterfeit Gods, we talked about the title, right? The title of Chalmers' book is The Expulsive Power of a New Affection. Okay, that didn't sell much, you know, recently, let's just say that. But the idea is that the idol is expelled when you have something better to love.
Right.
And so that's the idea that Keller has, that's the idea that Chalmers has, and I would say that's the idea that I hope to point our listeners to, is that really your hope to be free from really false promises or false threats is to fall in love with Jesus and have him be more attractive to your heart and beautiful to your imagination than your idol is.
Yeah.
And when you do that, that's when you're free. You're not free until then, really.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. There was a part that I remember in the book where he says it's not about adding pressure. Like, we're not coming on here saying, hey, this is a big problem for you. You better figure it out. Like, this is that you've got to do something on your own to make this better. This is just about, like we said, identifying it, revealing the truth that idols are not just sins, they're substitutes. And I've heard someone say, I can't remember where I heard this, but they said when you've got a Jesus-shaped hole in your heart, a hole that only Jesus can fill, he said it doesn't matter what else you throw in that hole, it's never going to fill it. And that's what we're doing, I think, when we're trying to put our trust in anything other than Jesus for our security, our comfort, our salvation, whether it can be the best things, they're still not going to fill that hole.
And I think that's important. I mean, to say there are some bad things that you can put in that
for
hole.
Sure.
But most of us don't do that.
Right.
I mean, even to say a church is it is not in and of itself a bad thing. But what it is that you're counting on it to do something that it is unable to do.
Yeah.
And that's why, that's what's so amazing about Jesus. And I mean, he has done, you know, he did it himself.
Yeah.
He died on a cross. He rose again. And it's his perfect life, his death, his burial, and his resurrection that then that's what qualifies him to be the one who is the true God and King who will take care of you. And, you know, trusting him and holding on to him is, that's what qualifies him. And so if you find something that isn't as supernatural and isn't as good, it's not gonna satisfy you in the same way.
Yeah, no, it's not. And that's what I found that was life-changing for me, because I tried all the other things. I tried to do the Followers of Christ Church the best that I could do it, and it still didn't deliver on the promise. It still didn't fill that hole. So I really was, it's going to sound weird, but I was in a way kind of trained to put my trust in someone else for my salvation, but it was not Jesus. It was the former leader of the church. I was told my entire life about this man who had died before I was born. I was told that I could and should put all of my trust in him and what he had taught, that he had power, that he spoke for God, all these things. And so I tried to learn about him. I tried to ask questions about him. I tried to get to know him, and I never could. I couldn't get to know this person who was dead before I was born. But that's exactly what I should have been being told to do. All those same things are true about Jesus.
But no, well, not all of them.
Except that he's not. Yes, you're right. Except that he See, is that, alive.
That's a really important that's part,
the
right?
Big, yeah, yeah, the resurrection. Exactly. That's.
You just had the wrong person. Yeah,
exactly. I was putting my trust in the wrong person, and I just, it's such great news to me that I could do that wrong my whole life for 42 years, and then just take that trust from that person and put it on Jesus, and it changes everything. It changes everything when you're not, when you have Jesus where he should be, you know, the name above all names, that, right, that there's nothing else, that I put my trust in for salvation, other than Jesus. And I don't get that right every day. There are things that I put trust in for comfort or for happiness or something. And I still get that wrong. I'm not saying that, but this book was really just a great reminder for me that I needed to have Jesus where he should be and nothing else.
Well, that's great news, and I think that's probably a great place to stop, really.
Yeah.
But I hope it's done that, or at least opened the door for people listening to realize, you know what, maybe I do. That's really all you need. Maybe I've got this in the wrong spot, and maybe I need to reconsider Jesus. And if you even just got a little closer to that, then it's really been worth talking about.
Yeah.
What do you got for him today?
We've done it before, but there...
It's the greatest hits right
It's the greatest hits, yeah. The solid rock says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness."
Stop. Right. Okay, I mean, really, because my hope is built on nothing less. That's what we're talking about, is where you're going to build your hope, and you can build it on Jesus and his blood and his righteousness, or you can build it on something else, and that's the counterfeit God.
Yep.
So
everything else is less.
Yeah. So you can resume. I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to. There's one more. The second part of that line, I think, is meaningful. "I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." And that's, I think, important, and we talked about it, but we're not saying that you have all these evil thoughts or these evil things you're trying to trust instead of Jesus. It can be
the sweetest
good things. It can be the sweetest frame that you're putting your trust in. They shouldn't be above Jesus. So the chorus says, "On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." So that's, again, if we can get people thinking about that and just, am I putting my trust in anything less than Jesus? And if you are, then read your Bible. He reveals himself to us in his word, and you'll find that he is worthy of all of your trust.
That's a good last word. Thanks.
Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.